It's time for us to turn to the Word of God. So today I would like you to turn to Psalm 119. We are still studying Ephesians, but I want you to go to Psalm 119, and we will read the second and third sections of that psalm. In your pew Bible, that is on page 704. Brother Dave's got the scripture for us today, so we're starting in verse 9, going down to 24. Brother Dave, thank you.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, you who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counsels. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Having heard God's word, let's pray. Lord, we simply ask now your blessing upon your word, that it would go forth and do according to your design, Lord, according to your mighty power at work in us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, going back to Ephesians 6, where we have been, we are coming to the conclusion. Just want to remind you of the verses that itemize the panoply of God, the whole armor of God. So this is Ephesians 6, 14 through 17, which say, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, over it all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Well, saints, so after these last 5 weeks, we're pretty well protected by now, I would say. Okay, we are thoroughly encased, head to toe, and yet the kit is not complete. One thing you still lack: a weapon, a sword. A sword not only completes your defensive equipment, it of course also is used for attack. It isn't enough simply to be able to hold your position and, you know, sort of shelter behind your casing of armor and shield as the devil continuously rains blows and down upon you. Okay, you have to counter him and drive him off. Right? You have to gain ground in the spiritual life, right? We have to make progress, capture the next hill, and plant the flag of the Lord there. Jesus did not shed his blood for us so that we could remain in the same condition in which he found us. No, remember that Christ's the gospel is an invasion of the devil's realm, right? Christ came to free captives. And the gospel life, if you like, is a plundering of the kingdom of Satan, right? It's like a taking of territory. And I'm not talking about land, right? I'm not talking about the surface of the earth. Your body and your soul and your mind and your conduct, these are all battlegrounds, right? These are all territory that the devil once firmly held, and he still has his outposts in it, okay? And you must advance. You must conquer new ground, right? Remember what Jesus said, to him who overcomes. And defensive armor alone is not going to gain you any ground. Okay, the best you can do with defensive armor is to hold your position, which is saying a lot, right? But you can't drive the enemy off and reclaim any territory from him by only hunkering down behind your shield. So the Lord has issued you a weapon to resist the devil with so that he will flee from you. And what a weapon! Okay, his banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. Okay, the hymn says that we're advancing, right? We tread the road, right? Treading the road means making progress, right? Expanding our safe territory. You can only tread the road if you drive the enemy back, okay? Then you can progress. So we have to know our weapon, what's its nature. We have to learn its uses, and we have to become skilled at handling it, okay? It ought to be observed that many of Christ's people today are unskilled in the use of this weapon, okay? They're unfamiliar with its uses and unclear as to its nature, and so they continue to be victimized by the devil since they don't know how to drive him back. And so he maintains his hold over large areas of their life. You know, there are still sins. There's gullibility. There are fears. There are passions and indulgences. Well, Jesus said what the problem is. He said, you err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Okay, what did he just tell you? He told you that knowing and applying the scriptures is the indispensable tool for victory in the Christian life. Okay, I'll say that part again. Knowing and applying the scriptures is an indispensable tool for victory in the Christian life. Unless you have an effective weapon and use it effectively, the devil is going to continue to harass and pound at you until you're exhausted. Okay, you need something powerful and effective, something to slash with, something to thrust with. So let's start by describing it. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Let's begin with the Word of God. Of course, first and foremost, what we are referring to is the written Word of God, right? The 66 books of divine revelation collectively called the Bible. And by extension, when the Bible, the written Word, is taken up and expounded accurately and proclaimed and taught faithfully, rightly, like what Paul says, right? Rightly dividing, which means cutting it straight. That too is the word of God in the sense of, right? Word in the sense of a proclamation or the verbalization of the things of God. Okay, we heard the word that came to us today. Okay, our sword is the word of God. We Christians, we church, are to be a proclaiming people, but it's got to be obviously accurately proclaimed. Peter the Apostle said this in his first letter, it's 1 Peter 4:11, that if anyone's ministry is to speak, let him do so as though speaking the very utterances of God. Okay, so obviously not just anybody at any time who presumes to address you in the name of Jesus Christ or, you know, express his own mind or opinions. Okay, that could be a faulty weapon, right? It could end up injuring both the hearers and the speaker. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, it is written. This is what the Bible says, right? The Lord God hath spoken it, and let those who have ears to hear, hear it. Okay, words of life. The word of God, the Bible says the word of God is living. It is active. It is powerful. It is effective. And it pierces, right? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it pierces down into the soul and spirit, into the joints and marrow. And it discerns and it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Okay, this is the living word, the word of God, right? The sword of his mouth. The hymn says, words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life, the living God, God who spoke and creation sprang into existence, God who utters his thunderous voice and the foundations of the earth quake, God whose judgments and decrees cannot be changed or overruled or broken. His word is unchangeable and immovable because of who he is. Who is he? He is the first, the last, the almighty. Okay, this book is his communication to us and for us. Our statement of faith says about the scriptures that the Bible is the final authority to all matters, in all matters to which it speaks. The Bible reveals the principles by which God saves and judges us. Therefore, it is, and to the end of the age will remain, the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct and beliefs and religious opinions are to be tried. Why is that? Because of who God is, right? Because he is the eternal. He is the first and the last. To be without his word is to be helpless and impotent against the wiles of the devil. But to be armed with his word is to be endowed with a power that even the very laws of nature cannot withstand, right? The very strength of hell cannot prevail against it. I hope that will convince you of your absolute and desperate need to train yourself in the word of God, in the use of the word of God. Okay, now then, what does of the Spirit mean, right? The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Well, it means at least two things. First, it means that the scriptures are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, how did the Bible come to be? Right, Peter tells us it's not just, and you can't possibly accept the teaching that it's just sort of the musings and the private thoughts of certain men that, well, they were popular, they caught on, they got passed down, and, you know, they came to be accepted. No. Peter says that the prophetic scriptures were never produced by the will of a man, but that men of God spoke as they were borne along, carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through David. Right, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, came to Jeremiah, came to Elijah, came to Ezekiel, saying, "Speak thus and so to my people and say." Okay, the word of the Lord came. All scripture is breathed out by God, says Paul. Okay, the word they use is the inspiration of the scriptures, but there's a technical meaning to that. All right, it doesn't just mean that they're inspirational. It doesn't just mean that somebody long ago had some, you know, beautiful, lovely ideas that somehow now have become traditional for us. No, it means that the breath of God imparted the words that the men of God wrote down. Okay, all scripture is God breathed, and it's profitable to the man of God for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that what? So that the man of God, the soldier of God, may be complete, may he be fully fitted out, fully equipped for every good work. Not just armored, armed, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, but of the Spirit also means this. Okay, not just that the scriptures are from the Holy Spirit, it also means that the power and the effectiveness of the word comes from the Holy Spirit as well, okay? Without the Holy Spirit, the words of the Bible are just that, okay? They're just words, okay? The scriptures are not a book of magic, spells, if you like, so that you can just sort of turn the page, open it up to a certain passage and just read them out, and, you know, they just do what they do, okay? And you see this a lot in many, many churches. You see it at funerals. You see it at weddings. Oh, somebody ought to read a reading from the Bible. Okay, so somebody stands up and, you know, reads Psalm 23. Or somebody stands up and reads Revelation 21. Okay, I saw a new heavens and I saw a new earth and so on and so forth. And it's just so dry. And it has no impact on either the listeners or on the reader. Okay, sometimes the audience and the reader are encountering some of the most precious things in the Word of God, and it has, you know, they might as well be reading an owner's manual to the toaster for all that it's going to do, okay? Lord, didn't I read the Bible at Grandmom's funeral? Right? Lord, Lord, didn't I say my lines right in the Christmas play? Okay, a virgin shall conceive, and yeah, okay. Who are you? The Lord will say, I don't know you. As I was thinking of this week, a scene flashed into my mind from a movie I saw way back when in the 90s, a Dracula movie. Okay, and Anthony Hopkins is in the movie. He plays Van Helsing, who is the vampire expert. And, you know, he's got a crucifix, and he's waving it in the face of a vampire and saying, we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Just saying it again and again. The vampire's going, you know, and back. Okay? And is that what this is? This is, it's like a book of incantations. Something to just, you know, wave around magic words that you just read them, yell them, and like, no. It's part of a kit of equipment, a full kit. Right? The truth, righteousness, the gospel, the confident faith in God, the sure hope of salvation, plus the sword. Okay? This is spiritual warfare, and you need the Holy Spirit to give the sword its power. You remember those men in the book of Acts who said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, and you can imagine them, they're like crucifix waving in the face, be gone, you demon. And what happened to that man? Okay, he was beaten bloody. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Okay, so you can't just expect success because you recited some words. Okay, the way that you could pick up a pen or a hammer or a spoon or something like that, just a lifeless tool, and you can use it for whatever you want to use it for. It's not like that. You hear a politician from time to time in front of the cameras saying, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't you Christians know what Matthew says? And they're trying to get support for whatever the latest shenanigans or tax raise or whatever. Yeah, don't you know what Matthew says? Yeah, I know what Matthew says. Yeah, I got a verse for you. Okay, it's like a thorn into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. How's that? Okay, some people have no business handling the sword, right? You don't know the power. Okay, they're going to end up being injured by that sword. They're going to end up falling on that sword. Okay, and likewise, there are carnal Christians out there who think that they're going to cast the devil out because they claimed something in the name of Jesus. Or, you know, they're going to claim a neighborhood in the name of Jesus because they walked a circle around it saying certain things. Okay, or they rebuke the spirits in the name of Jesus, right? It's show. It's shenanigans, right? And really, how is that different from spell casting? Okay, just, they call it the word of faith, right? Just here, let me lay my hands on you and then I'll just speak the word of faith and then whatever you want to happen will happen. Okay, just say the word and believe and get results. How is that not sorcery? Okay, what's next? Are you going to get garlic and holy water and crucifixes and that kind of thing? Okay, the devil must think all of that is so laughable. How does that make the church holier? How does that help the Christian climb up nearer to God? What about studying the scriptures, right? And learning them and mastering them and becoming proficient in their use, right? Knowing the histories, meeting the characters in them, following the examples, avoiding the examples of those who fall, taking its warnings. Oh, well, that takes work. That takes effort, right? Can't you just name it and claim it? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Is that true? I will meditate on thy precepts and contemplate thy ways. Is that true? I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What are its uses? All right, that was its nature. What are its uses? Well, we just heard a few, right? Defensive and offensive against the evil one, right? To guard and to pierce. Useful for teaching, correcting, reproving and instructing in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, mature, and in due time victorious. Cleansing your way. Right? How can a young man cleanse his way? You need a defense in times of temptation. Have you got to struggle with some fleshly sin? Get your Bible out and read. Right? You know what helps? Get one of those little Gideon Bibles. Put it in your purse. Put it in your glove box. Put it in your car. Put it on your nightstand. Or wherever you are. Okay, you're waiting for your money to come out from the bank or whatever. Read it, that I might not sin. Read it a lot. Have it handy. Keeping to the right path, not wandering off. Right? Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And what other uses? Scripture says, warning the unruly, upholding the weak, encouraging the faint-hearted. Here's a good little exercise I recommend. Go do a Bible search on the word beware. Okay, try that out and see what you find. It will help you against the schemes of the devil. You go look it up. Where do you find, what does it say? And look up the word beware. Lifting the spirit. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will praise him yet again. The light of his countenance, my God, that's a weapon. Rescuing those who are entangled in lies and in foolish behavior, like banishing someone's ignorance of God, banishing their ignorance of his will. The way the light pierces the darkness, so the word of God pierces spiritual darkness. It pierces you too, by the way. Okay, your fleshly nature needs killing. Right? Love not the world or the things in the world. Right? The world and everything in it are passing away. Whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, that cuts me. Yeah, it's sharp. Right into your soul, right into your spirit. Right? It slices open and exposes the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart, but it also heals. Right? And it gives life. Right? Because it cuts away the dead. And it lets what's living and healthy take its place. Right? Filling your heart with joy, with guidance, with wisdom. Right? Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Okay, that is some weapon, right? It's something useful, it's effective, it's perfectly designed by the swordsmith for the task at hand, right? It is the perfect tool for the necessary task of overcoming the evil one. Look at all the people in the Bible who use the Bible to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's start with Joshua. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then what? Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success, and I will be with you wherever you go. That sound like something that would be useful for a Christian soldier? I think so. Is something a Christian soldier needs to obey? Joshua 1:8. David, we just read it on Wednesday night. David used the word of God to correct that disastrous error about mishandling the Ark of the Covenant. Well, he went back and he read in the law what he was supposed to do. He got it right. Prophets constantly referred to the law when persuading their generations to repent. Right? This is the covenant of your God. Daniel read Jeremiah. Jeremiah referred back to Micah, right? There, even Job, who even knows how much of the Bible Job had? Job says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus Christ himself, of course, right? Used it when tempted, used it when he was physically at his weakest. Struck three mighty blows against the devil, and the devil left him because he said, it is written, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy. You know Deuteronomy pretty well or not? Okay, Paul used it when he's reasoning and contending for the Bible. The Bereans got their Bibles out when they're checking to see, is Paul for real or is this a man sent from hell? Okay, Hebrews quotes from almost every book in the Old Testament, quotes from Deuteronomy, Samuel, 15 different Psalms, Isaiah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Jeremiah, Proverbs. Remember what Abraham said to the rich man when the rich man was in Hades and said, please send Lazarus to tell my brothers about this awful place. What did Abraham say? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Okay, which tells you the word of God is sufficient, right? It's able to make your brothers wise unto salvation. And if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, well, what good will it do to send them anybody else? Okay, there's the sword of the Spirit lying right within your reach. And if they don't use it, well, that's on them. Why do we take the approach to church here that we do? Why do we take the approach to worship and preaching that we do here, which is just exactly what we're doing now? Open the Bible, explain it, apply it, and charge one another to keep it. Okay, why is it important to give God's word our undivided attention? It's our only weapon. And this is us using it. Right, all this time working our way through Ephesians, and we did a different book of the Bible before that. We're going to do another one after, another one at night, another one on Wednesday night. This is us using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I would say we've been driving the evil one back. Okay, we've been gaining some ground, don't you think? I should hope so. Okay, and like I said this morning in Sunday school, this is like going to math class, right? Makes you more proficient at math. Unless, of course, you sleep through class and doodle and daydream and so on, okay? We're working on our swordsman skills, right? So if you notice, there are certain people around here who are pretty well guarded against the devil and pretty good at driving him away, and others not so much, okay? That is directly related to the amount of time that the person does or does not spend training him or herself in the words of the Lord laid up in this book, okay? And it isn't enough. Please, I want to step back for a second. You can't just listen to a sermon about taking up the sword of the Spirit. You have to take up the sword of the Spirit. Okay? For many Christians, including some of you, this requires forming new habits. It requires some life change. Okay? Think about Jesus saying that if, you know, when he said the owner of the house, if he knew when the thief was going to come in, he would prepare and prevent his house from being broken into. Remember that? Because he's going to get a weapon, and he's going to wait there by the door, right? And he's going to take a slash at him, and he's going to drive him away. You are the owners of that house, okay? You do know that the devil is going to attack you. You know the prowler is outside, and he's coming in. He's coming in with malice. Where's your weapon? Why aren't you armed? Okay, you got a butter knife. Okay, you need a sharp sword, or that intruder is going to overwhelm you in a moment, and he is going to beat you black and blue. Okay, you need a sharp sword, and you have to practice with it, and you have to train, and you have to hone it. So I'm saying new habits. Okay, put away some of these old earthly habits that are still, you still have them, right? Put on new ones. Take the time to become holy. Okay, and how did Jesus pray? Sanctify them, Father, by thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? So sanctification and progress in the Christian life, expertise in Christian living comes through the Holy Scriptures. Each of you, friends, each of you has to become a frequent reader and student of the Bible. I know you all have a copy. If you don't have a copy, please take one from the church or ask me, I'll give you a Bible. I bet you have a Bible, but it may be just laying on the shelf collecting dust. It's dusty on the outside and brand new on the inside, right? The inside maybe has never seen the light of day. But I'll tell you what's wearing out, the buttons on your TV remote, probably the numbers are wearing off from overuse, okay? That is not soldier-like discipline, okay? Tell me if I'm wrong, okay? You have to learn the word of God so that you can strike back at the devil and his legions, okay? Resist, and he will flee from you. I love this story. There's one of David's mighty men in the Old Testament who fought so long and hard against the Philistines one day, you know, defending and slashing and progressing and thrusting and so on until he's exhausted, totally exhausted. But the Philistines have run for the hills, and it says that his hand stuck to his sword. Okay, and that's what one of the commentators, Charles Simeon, who I love, and this just made me laugh out loud, really. I said, it's so wonderful. Each of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, should attain to that kind of proficiency with the scriptures and to smite our enemies until the sword is stuck to your hand. I love that. I thought that was tremendous. Okay, and not just so that you can strike your enemies down, but it's also because the word of God is going to be the basis on which Jesus Christ will judge the world when he comes. Okay, the rider on the white horse, what? The sword proceeding out of his mouth with which to strike the nations. Jesus said, that word which I have spoken will judge you on the last day. The Lord said in Deuteronomy, if I whet my glittering sword, right, sharpen it, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. But the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Thus it shall be. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, Jesus said, I've not spoken on my own. I'm not making anything up. The Father who sent me commanded me exactly what to say and what I should speak, and I know that his decree, his command, is everlasting life, words of life. So whatever I speak, therefore, I speak it just as the Father has told me. Take up your swords, my friends. Speak in the name of the Lord. Hey, the word of God, the eternal one, the Alpha and the Omega. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not stray from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's give thanks for it. Christ, our Savior, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, blessed be your name forever. Your word will stand when all else has fallen. Form Christ in us, Abba Father. Make us mighty with the word as he is. Give us success against the devil as he had. Cause us to follow in your steps. Lay up your word in our heart. Cause us to stand to resist the evil one so that he will flee from us. Bless your people today. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen.